Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to the Dr. Joy Brown Show. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's on your mind, Serena?
Well, I have two daughters, and my husband and I are in accord about a family policy we have about no sleepovers.
Why?
And
why do we have a policy of no sleepovers?
Because it seems to me that the people that are always inviting my children to sleepovers are the families that have very loose rules about television and the internet and unsupervised activities that don't really sit well with our parenting style. We are very limiting on the television that they're exposed to and the time they spend on the computer.
Well, but I mean, worst case scenario, they go to somebody's house and they watch television for 3 hours. I mean, is that going to make any difference in the long run? I think
if it's 3 hours of violence that they've never been exposed to, yes.
Oh, I think, Serena, you're a trifle naive, my adorableness. I mean, first of all, they can go over in the middle of the afternoon and see the same stuff. I mean, your daughters are how old?
10 and 12.
Yeah. I mean, you can do whatever you want to do, but I think that you're probably better served to have your children exposed to the real world while you're still around to be able to say, this doesn't make any sense, or have them say, look, I really am not comfortable watching this. Not to mention the fact that usually, I mean, I don't know what sleepovers were when you were a kid, but they weren't much about watching television. They were about makeup and talking about boys and sillies.
Actually, that's the one reason why when I was a teenager, one of my girlfriends who turned out to have been molested by her father all her childhood, they got porn for sleepovers, and I left. And,
okay, so you were not in any way compromised. I mean, I just think you're making the thing about putting your kids in a bubble is that when the bubble bursts, they have no abilities to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
As I said, you can do whatever you want to do. 10-year-olds, I think, are right there on the cusp about sleepovers, and certainly one of the possibilities is you could have other kids come to your house. Do you allow them to invite their friends to your house?
No.
Why not? Since you're in charge of the television and...
If we're not allowing them to sleep over, we kind of have to make it both ways. Otherwise, it's always a
problem. Serena, you're going to have your kids that have some social... They're going to be outcasts at school.
Okay. So you think it's okay to have them at my house, but...
I think it's okay to have them at your house, and I think if your kids know the rules and are uncomfortable and saying, you know, I'm not comfortable watching this. I mean, in the same way that you did. I mean, I think that your experience was certainly an unusual experience, Serena, and I think assuming that all sleepovers have incestuous fathers who are going to have 10-year-olds watch porn is not accurate.
No, but if you know...
And even in the worst-case scenario, you went home.
Older male siblings and the
Serena,
supervision is lacking.
Serena, were you molested as a child?
No.
I
don't want to go say okay to sleepovers and then have that exposure occur.
Well, first of all,
prevent it altogether.
Serena, you're not going to be able to protect your kids their whole lives.
But at least until they're 16.
Serena, I think you're kidding yourself. I think you're giving yourself an unreasonable... I think you're being unnecessarily restrictive to your kids. You're not letting them learn any values for themselves. And
okay,
I think,
so how do I enter into it being okay? I can't just all of a sudden say, okay, we're going to allow...
Well, I think what you can say is, look, this is my concern, that we need to understand. I'd like to know the parents. I'd like to know how many kids are there. If there are five little girls all in pajamas at somebody's house, how the hell would somebody molest them? There are five little girls there. I mean,
absolutely. Totally. But if there's five little girls and, you know, there's two teenage brothers in the house.
Well, you know, it's still 5-2. Serena, I think your version of the world is so bizarre, as far as I'm concerned, and so distorted and so negative. I think you need, listen, I think whether you let your kids sleep over at somebody else's house or not, what I would encourage you to do is find yourself a therapist and work some of this out. Because you're giving your daughters such a bizarre and negative and horrifying view of the world that you're going to have one of them who is terrified of boys, and the other one who will decide that you made the whole thing up and will have no ability to have any self-imposed limits because she's never had to do it. I think what you're doing is very dangerous parenting, and I think it comes from something inside you that really needs to be looked at. And I'm not trying to give you a hard time. I'm saying I think carrying around, you must be fearful all of the time when those kids aren't in your sight.
Oh, no, that's not the situation. It's just about sleepovers and the fact that the people that invite them over always have these extenuating circumstances. If it was families that we normally got together with and I knew the families, that would be fine.
Well, then maybe
they
what you could
have
say...
the same policies.
Then maybe you could say to your daughters, look, I'd like to know the families before you're invited over. I mean, Serena, listen, you're going to do what you want to do here, but I really do think that you know, we give our kids some flexibility to make decisions, even if they're the wrong decision, because they're going to learn more from their wrong decisions. They're going to learn from our right decisions, because they have to learn to make decisions. I don't think your kids will learn to make decisions, and they're going to get sneaky on you at some point. At least one of them will. And the point also is, my concern for you is that I think you're carrying around an enormous weight of kind of negativity about the world and your ability to deal with it, and your kids' ability to deal with it. So, again, and at some point you're going to send your kids off to camp or to college or to life, and you want them to have the ability to discriminate on their own, to choose what kind of friends they want, to have the same ability that you had when you went to a friend's house and somebody pulls out porn. And I don't know what porn means. I mean, I remember when we were about 12 years old, we thought Playboy was the coolest thing, or Peyton Place, you know, earmarked copies of Peyton Place. You know, whether that's porn or not, that there were some kids who, I mean, you had the ability to say, I'm not playing, and go home. And you want your kids to have the same ability to differentiate and to make decisions. And by you making all the decisions, they're not making any decisions. And you don't want them to be that vulnerable or that frightened once they go out into the world. All righty, Suzanne, you're on the air. I'm Dr. Joy Brown. How may I help?
Hi. I just had a long relationship with a friend, and there's some conflict in the relationship now, and I'm not really sure how to handle it.
Okay.
I see her pretty regularly, but probably a couple times a week. I see her husband sort of more frequently just because I'm at their house interacting. But for the last maybe year, she's been really treating me differently. Like, really, she doesn't talk to me the same way. She's not friendly to me. She just answers my questions with one word answers, and we used to have a good relationship, and now I don't really know what to do to sort of reach out to her and say, you know, I think I did something wrong. Yeah, what's going
on? Okay. How old are you, Suzanne?
50.
And how old is she?
She might be 57.
Okay. How old's the husband?
He's older. He's 63, something like that.
Okay, you mentioned, first of all, can you think about what might have happened a year ago?
I think I might have said a couple things, because I remember having her sort of overreact to something that I said, and she's kind of said, what do you mean by that?
Okay,
and
do you remember what you said, or the general area?
I remember saying something about someone else that we knew in common about his fridge broke down, and I said it couldn't happen to a better person, and she kind of said, what do you mean by that? And I said, well, he always had an overstuffed fridge, and it was time to clean out the fridge because he got a new fridge. So it was something minor like that, but she kind of, I thought she overreacted to the way I said it, but I didn't mean it in a malicious way.
Okay, well, it does. All right, two things. First of all, three things. First of all, nobody ever overreacts. They just respond to something different than you think they're responding to. So that's number one. And we're about to come up on a break, which means you're going to get to sort through a little bit more, number one. Number two, I agree that your first response, that couldn't happen to a nicer guy. The initial response is, whoa, that's kind of mean. Your explanation wasn't nearly as mean. But and then I also want you to look at the fact that you're seeing her husband a lot when you go over there. All right, so look at those four issues, which is a lot. I'll put you on hold. I'll be back with you. Richard, you'll be right after Suzanne. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Connect with Dr. Joy on Facebook.com and Twitter.com/Dr. Joy Brown Show.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates, 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
You're fired.
According to the Small Business Administration, 75% of small businesses plan to eliminate jobs or reduce workers' hours to part-time.
You're fired.
According to Gallup, the unemployment rate recently jumped to nearly 9%, and the underemployment rate hit a staggering 17.9%.
You're fired.
One out of three young adults and one out of two recent college graduates are underemployed. Hello, I'm Keith Abel, a pharmacist and a home business entrepreneur. In 2011, I became one of those statistics myself. Instead of looking for another job in corporate America, I joined Dr. Joel Wallet, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. We're creating steady incomes for ourselves and would like to show you how to do the same. If you want to supplement your current income, replace your income, so you don't have to become one of the statistics, then give me a call toll-free at 866-257-3105, 866-257-3105.
You're fired.
Don't wait till you hear those words. Start creating an extra income today, 866-257-3105.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my leg has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of the 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead, has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
Across Talk America. This is the Dr. Joy Brown Show. Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
All right, we're talking with Suzanne, who's had a friend for a while, and something happened a year ago. Suzanne, it sounds to me that that particular event may have been a culmination of something. So how long have you actually known each other?
Our whole lives.
Okay. Can you, if you think back to that year ago, because you're so specific about it, and I believe that, that event was probably the critical mass, but for there to be a critical mass, there also has to be a mass. So there was very likely some stuff that was going on before that. Can you think of any disagreement that there was a wedding or something that one or the other was supposed to go to, or a friend in common, or some other kind of minor disturbance, something that you may have done to make her feel a little edgy around you?
I can't think of anything specific. I know she's been having a hard time dealing with menopausal symptoms and stuff like that, and she has had a bit of a personality change. Everyone around her has noticed it. But I'm not shirking my culpability. I'm sure that I've done something she doesn't like, but I guess my question is to how to what's the best way to try to mend the fence is what like to do.
I got it. All right, let me go back to that other the other issue that you mentioned, which is that when you're over there, her husband's there a lot. Is there any possibility that she's having some mental issues and she feels that you've opted for him, not her?
No, I don't think that's an issue whatsoever.
Okay. When's the last time you talked to her?
In a meaningful way, it's been a long time, but just casually I spoke to her on Monday at the movie theater. Everybody was in a group of people.
Okay. Does she have... let's pretend I'm her for a minute, okay? And you be you and sort of approach me about the fact you'd like to have, you know, that you think something's wrong and could we talk about it? All right, just give it a shot. Let's see what you'd come up with.
Well, I was thinking that I've noticed that... you're reacting different to me lately. I think I probably have done something wrong to warrant that, and I'd like to apologize for it, but I'd also
Let me stop you, just because I think that your heart's on the right track, but you're heading into murky waters. All right, saying that you're reacting differently is you interpreting her, and she's going to argue with you about it. Imagine. Okay, so we've got to take that off the table. Saying, I'm sure I did something wrong, but I don't know what it is kind of, that's kind of how, you know, one of the things women hate about men. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know what it's for, but I'm sorry. Because it's not really an apology, and it doesn't feel like they're taking responsibility at all. So I know that you are taking responsibility, but that's not the way to go about it, because it doesn't sound like it. And we've already gotten into one set of deep water by sort of saying something that got misinterpreted. So let's not sort of wander into the same shoals again. All right, so try this. I really miss our closeness. And I have the sense that a year ago, I said something that was easy to misinterpret. But, you know, if there's something I can do going forward, I would really like to resume the level of intimacy that we had a while ago. If there's something that I can do, if there's something that I did wrong, I remember that conversation where I sounded like I was dumping on somebody, and I should probably be a little bit more careful about being smart alecky, because that's you taking complete responsibility as opposed to saying misinterpreted. I really miss our closeness, and I will do almost, you know, anything to sort of get back to it if you can give me some direction, okay? Because in that way, you're not in any way talking about her behavior. You're talking about you miss it, that you want, you'll take instructions from her, that when you think about it, this is the event you can come up with, and you've reformed in terms of saying smart, you know, snarky comments about other people. But I really miss our closeness. Because anything else is going to get you in trouble. She's either going to argue with you, and we don't know what else is going on with her. We don't know if she and her mother are having some problems. She may be having hot flashes. She may be having marital issues. We don't know. You don't know at this moment because she hasn't really felt comfortable confiding in you for the last year. But all you can do is what you can do, and what you want to do exactly as you say is take this on your shoulder. But an apology that isn't really an apology is going to have the same kind of effect that when your husband says, look, I'm sorry. I don't know what I did, but I'm sorry for it. Because what you want to do is strangle him at that moment, because what you're thinking is you know damn well what you did, even if he doesn't. So you don't want to start there, because that's already been tested by every man on the planet and knowing that it's completely ineffective and counterproductive. So don't go there. But just saying, I miss our closeness, and I think this is, if you can possibly manage it, a face-to-face private conversation where you invite her for lunch or say, look, I'd love to buy you lunch, my treat. And if she is resistant, say, you know, let me buy you a cup of coffee. I need to talk with you. And if she's completely resistant, I'd try everything I could to get her face-to-face, because it's going to be much better, because you're going to have many more clues into whether you're being effective or not. When she crosses her hands over her chest or looks away from you, you know that you're going to have to try a different tack because it's not working. But if she resists any kind of willingness to get in touch with you, then you can say it on the phone. I would not do it in an email if you possibly could. I would do it on the phone.
No.
That face-to-face is better. Phone is better than email. Email is better than text. Text is better than, I don't know. I'm not sure what text is better than. I'm not sure. Because your text sort of self-corrects itself. And I've sent texts and received texts that make no sense because it just corrected itself and it made no sense. But I think the message is, I miss our closeness, and I will do, I know I did something in a moment's weakness that didn't sit well with you, and it may not have sat well with me either to feel that I was sort of talking about somebody that we both like behind their back, and that wasn't my intent, but I could certainly understand how it could be interpreted that way. But I'd like to go forward with this, and if you could give me some direction about what I can do to either atone or to start over, whatever, I would be incredibly grateful.
Okay.
For most people, that's pretty hard to resist.
Right. The opportunity.
Okay, there's nothing to argue with.
Themselves. Yeah.
Yeah.
The opportunity to help someone better themselves. Yeah.
Exactly, and to be critical, you get it's kind of like okay, you can slug me once, and there will be no reprisals, because the other way is making it's back on her. Well, you overreacted. You're clearly mad. I have no idea why. You never want to tell people how they feel. You never want to tell people.
No.
You don't want an apology that really is not an apology. You don't want to ever imply that somebody misinterpreted or overreacted. What you want to do is take it on your own shoulders. If I miss this, that you're really important to me. I want to make this right. This is the only thing I can think of. And one of the reasons that I think children and men were not necessarily interchangeable, sort of say, okay, I'm sorry. It's because they figure if you own up to one thing and it's the wrong thing, then you're nailed for two issues. That's not a profitable way of running interactions. Getting nailed for two issues just means you have two things to reconsider. It doesn't mean that the end of the relationship. So, and I would, as I said, face-to-face is best. If you can convince her to see you face-to-face, if you can't, phone is better than email. Email, and don't ever leave a message on a machine, because you never know if they picked it up, and so you're just going to have to go through the whole thing again. All righty?
Right. Thank you.
You're welcome. 855-99-DR-JOY. Richard, call me back. 855-99-37569. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
It's time to build your own emergency food stockpile with the industry leader, My Patriot Supply. Once you try them, you'll know why so many Americans like you have made them part of their emergency preparedness plan. Experience the My Patriot Supply difference today with this unbelievable offer. Right now, a 4-week food supply is only $99, and that includes free shipping. That's 50% off the online price. Call 800-274-3070 to claim yours. Limit 2 per caller while supplies last. This offer isn't available available online, so you want to make sure and grab this opportunity to get prepared today. 800-274-3070 to get your four-week food supply for the incredible price of only $99, and it'll be shipped to you completely free. Call 800-274-3070 right now. That's 800-274-3070 to claim yours while supplies last. Don't wait. Call today.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates, 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
I'm Kay Swirling from KSCO Radio in Santa Cruz. I'm 93 years old, and I'm a big fan of Alex Jones because he has the courage to speak his mind more than just about anyone I know. Alex is just as bothered as I am about all the advertising you hear for toxic prescription drugs that make you sicker, not healthy. I prefer to give my body all 90 essential nutrients it needs for life to prevent disease, not compound it. My favorite complete supplement is Beyond Tangy Tangerine from Youngevity, which I take every day along with EFA Plus and Beyond Osteo FX. I recommend you go online to InfoWarsTeam.com to purchase these products and make them part of your daily regimen to get healthy and live longer. InfoWarsTeam.com.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE. Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Talking about what really matters, your family, your relationships, your life. It's the Dr. Joy Brown Show at 855-99-DR-JOY.
All righty. Well, 855-99-3-7569. not a bad time to get in touch with me. We have a little bit more time. And today is the day that we ordinarily do It's Broken, Let's Fix It. But we're not doing it today because we're not. So there we go. It's one of those things that we do when we have something appropriate to do. And when we don't, we don't. So this is pretty cool. 855-99-37569. Okay. So we've had all sorts of stories about bees, right? And there were two documentaries that I know of last year that suggested that the bee population was being made extinct, and that was a terrible idea for human beings, and that as bees go, so the rest of the world goes, because bees, as we all remember from elementary school, bring pollen from the trees, and that's how, among other things, that plants grow and get pollinated. All right, so here's the headline. Bees make incredible comeback as five species who were thought to be in danger of extinction return to Britain with a vengeance. All right? There's an intent to reintroduce short-haired bumblebees to the UK. See, bees are not my favorite because I am wildly allergic to them. I just, you know, I don't even want to talk about it. Five other bumblebee species have been found in increasing numbers, and seven of the UK's 25 varieties are sort of doing very well. And the speed of recovery suggests bees can cope with some pesticides. So all of this is a very good idea. Conservationists say the speed of the recovery suggests that bees can, in fact, cope with some pesticides if they have wildflowers to feed on and a place to live. Which is sort of good for the rest of us, I suppose, that, you know, that if bees can be resilient, so can we. The rest of this article, I'm having a hard time bringing up, I guess, maybe because of my allergy to bees. So, all right, so that's number one in the sort of good news stories. We also have, this sounds like a weird story, and it is a weird story, but I think I would probably dedicate this to my dad, because my dad viewed himself as somebody who was kind of a gourmand, especially, which is sort of odd, sort of, because growing up we were certainly a meat and potatoes family, and my mother's version of spices was very wild. It was salt, pepper, garlic salt, and onion salt. That was, you know, that was when my mother was walking on the wild side, was the onion and garlic salt. The rest of the time was salt and pepper. My mother is and was and is a lovely woman, but food was, you know, Martha Stewart does not have to worry about anything from my mom. My computer is completely frozen. But so I'm going to reboot while I'm talking, because maybe that will help here. So the idea is that my father thought that, you know, because he viewed himself as this dude who would try anything. When I spent a summer on an archaeology dig, and I brought him home was crickets, which I had chocolate covered crickets, and I think my father actually ate them, because I think he was proving to me that he was the gourmand that he, or he's convinced us that that he was. And I did it. I mean, I wasn't doing it to be a smart aleck, although heaven knows I was certainly quite capable of that. But in this particular case, I was not really doing it to be to say, okay, Dad. I wasn't really challenging him, as I said, although it wasn't beyond me, but in this particular case. And he ate them. And it turns out that crickets are kind of, as someone described, the gateway insect to people who eat insects. And you have to remember that insects are high protein sources and ubiquitous. And so people who, for example, native people quite often eat insects. We know that people have survived for long periods of time in very remote areas and very deprived circumstances by eating insects. I mean, it's a little alarming if you think about it, especially for those, although someone invited me to go fishing with them, because fishing season, I think, opens either today or tomorrow in the East Coast and a lot of places. And I said, you know, I don't mind fishing, but one of my my experiences once, that if you catch a fish, you then have to smack its head. And then the thought of eating it just seems beyond me. And I know, I mean, I do eat fish, and I do understand that chicken was at one point a live thing, but I don't actually have to wring its neck. And so my experience with fishing was, okay, what if I don't use bait? And I actually caught a fish once with no bait. But it turns out that I've solved that problem, because even if you don't have bait, if you don't have a hook, you're never going to catch a fish. So you're allowed to do all the kinds of things that fishing allows, which is you're allowed to sit there and do nothing, and you're allowed to walk in the water, you're allowed to wade around, and you're allowed to not talk and not do anything and fool around in the water. And you don't actually have to, nobody questions you. No one says, don't walk there. No one says the rocks are slippery. I mean, you basically can do sort of whatever you want to do. And you can cast, which is fun, but you don't have to worry about smacking some poor fish's head against the rocks. So, I am clearly not a, I don't know. So the idea of actually eating a bug, and crickets are supposedly crunchy and delicious, and as I said, they are considered the gateway food for people who are going to do things like that. So it's not an unfamiliar kind of concept, but the idea is that I'm chatting while my computer is just not happy today. That crickets are the gateway food for people who are going to eat voluntarily, and apparently a large part of the world does that. They eat grubs and all sorts of things of that sort. So here, see if I can find the story again. That crickets aren't ready to replace meat. And then cockroaches, I guess, are the next sort of food source. They said they can't replace or supplement protein in the human diet yet. Crickets are the most widely cultivated insects for the human diet and are considered, as I said, the gateway bug for people who choose to eat insects. They're touted as highly nutritious and much better for the planet, environmentally and financially, than livestock due to the comparatively efficient rate at which they convert feed into body mass. They said, here's the understatement of the week, the issue is far more complex. While there's potential for insects cultivation to augment the global supply of dietary protein, some of the sustainability claims on this topic have been overstated. Okay. Our study demonstrates that the sustainability gains associated with cultivating crickets as an alternative source of protein will depend in large part on what the crickets are fed. Duh. And which systems of livestock production they are compared to. Apparently, he is not an English major. Insect cultivation is more likely to contribute to human nutrition at a scale of economic and ecological significance if it does not rely on a diet that competes with conventional livestock, but more innovation is needed for this to become a reality. Well, I mean, they're going to eat less. The goal be design cost-effective processes to feed large populations of insects on underutilized organic waste and side streams. Crickets and other insects are efficient in converting feed to protein compared to conventional livestock. He says, who knows? Researchers measured the biomass output and feed conversion ratios of crickets, Ashita domesticus, that were reared on foods ranging from grain-based to high in cellulose. They found that the biomass accumulation was strongly influenced by the quality of the diet. Duh. The measurements were made at a much greater population scale and density than any previously reported. For populations of crickets that survived to a harvestable size, I don't even want to think about what that is. The feed conversion ratios were less efficient than those reported from studies conducted at smaller scale and lower population densities. Well, obviously, you're going to have to feed them more if they're going to get bigger, folks. I don't know about these studies. Crickets fed a poultry feed diet showed little improvement in protein conversion efficiency compared to the industrial scale production of chickens. Okay, given a choice between a cricket or a chicken, which would you rather? Crickets fed on processed food waste grew to a harvestable size with conversion efficiency similar to broiler chickens. Don't give up your chicken yet. KFC is Kentucky Fried Crickets? I don't know. Over 99% of the crickets fed minimally processed municipal scale waste, food waste, and diets composed largely of straw died before reaching a harvestable size. I love this study. Bringing crickets into the global protein supply will depend on collecting and using relatively high-quality waste sources that are not currently being used that doesn't kill them. I just added doesn't kill them. Lundy admits to eating some of his experimental subjects after weighing them for research. This is my favorite article ever. He dusted them with cornmeal and Cajun seasoning and fried them in olive oil. He's also tried protein bars made with cricket flour. I'm all for exploring alternatives. I'm impressed by the amount of innovation that sprung up around insect cultivation and cuisine. We need to be clear-eyed about what the sustainability gains are and aren't. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
Call Dr. Joy at 855-99-DR-JOY.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins. But did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoins. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Have a question? Need advice? Dr. Joy Brown is here to help at 855-99-DR-JOY.
All righty. 855-993-7569. All right. In finishing up in our kind of weird story week, don't know, this week was kind of fun. And if you're thinking about going to the movies over the weekend, make sure you check out drjoy.com. All right? 855-99-375-69. All right, so we think of men as, you know, we think of hunters and gatherers. We think of men as the hunters. Okay, there's a dude, well, it's a dudette, actually, from Iowa State who has said, women may actually be the ones who invented weapons. All right, here's your thinking about it. All right, guys, stop scratching and listen. She and her crew observed 308 hunts in Senegal. These are chimps from Fongali. Doesn't sound cool. Over 7 years, she noticed that the females carried out 61% of the hunts, even though they only made up 39% of the hunting parties. They use sharpened sticks to hunt small nocturnal primates called bush babies. That sounds a little bloodthirsty. I think I'm going to go kill a bush baby. They're the only chimps known to use weapons for hunting, though other chimp groups use tools to get termites and tubers and crickets. Many females, which scientists don't consider, most of them are hunters, most of them are females who are using the tools, but scientists don't consider getting termites and tubers as hunting. I don't know, maybe because the scientists are men, I don't know. They're saying the relative lack of prey at Fongali may be the reason that the chimps have started using weapons as a more inventive way of hunting. The Fongali chimps were also much more cooperative compared to other troops. The dominant males allowed females and smaller males to eat their own kill, which offers another explanation for the development of weapon use. In addition, females often have their offspring with them, which makes chasing prey down harder. Do you know, I mentioned yesterday that Monkey Kingdom opens this week, which is a look at, obviously, monkeys in Asia. And it, as I said, Tina Fey does the narration on it, and it's a little bit tongue-in-cheeky, and it's awfully anthropomorphic, the idea that we're attributing human emotions to non-humans always drives me a little crazy, because I think it's disrespectful of the animal kingdom to assume that everything is like us. they're saying maybe the initial inventiveness is female-based, but it's hard to pick out from the data. They said if female chimps were the first to use weapons to hunt, maybe the same thing is true for early humans. Again, man, major leap. Other scientists remain skeptical of the theory, arguing that hunting in general is still mainly a male activity, but that doesn't rule out the possibility that males got the idea of using weapons from females. Hi, honey. What is that you've got in your hand? What is it that you were thinking about using on me when I didn't help with childcare? There you go. All right, and the final sort of stupid story of the week. Do you see this the story about the baggage handler? It's actually kind of a scary story that turned out okay. That he was a baggage handler that not only fell asleep, but supposedly he fell into. That was the original story. This was an Alaskan airline flight. And that they had to divert it. He apparently was trapped in a plane's cargo hold, and he says he was awakened after a piece of luggage fell on him, which is troublesome in and of itself. When the bag started moving and I heard the sound of the engine, I had to think fast about what I had to do to get out. But the plane took off from Seattle. He said he wasn't injured. He had been permanently banned from working on airlines flights. I think so. He was a ramp agent, which contracts with the airlines to handle baggage, realized his predicament. He called 911. I'm inside a plane, and I feel like it's moving in the air. Flight 448. Can you please have somebody stop it? The dispatcher expressed confusion in the man's location, and the call was lost after 44 seconds. It's true, you can't use your cell phone, right, on planes? Okay. The baggage handler could also be heard banging with the knocking sound audible for the plane's passengers and crews. The plane was headed to L.A., returned to Seattle after 14 minutes in the air. I mean, think about it. That would be truly terrifying, don't you think? first of all, I mean, there's so many issues here. First of all, how can you fall asleep under those circumstances? The one of the questions was he sober? And nobody's really answered that. That was questions asked initially. I don't know whether it's been clarified since. He's obviously been banned, and he was working for a subcontractor. But the idea, think about it. I mean, think about it from the point of view of airport security, right? That somebody could be actually in the cargo hold. And apparently he was fairly lucky, and this was a pressurized part of the plane. And he was only apparently in there for like 14 minutes or something, right? I think the plane was only in the air for 14 minutes. Yeah, after 14 minutes in the air. But, I mean, presumably planes don't take off immediately. I don't know. This whole thing, I mean, from a security standpoint, doesn't make you a little nervous that the idea that there could be some guy in the plane that nobody knew about?
Definitely.
I mean, it makes, with all that stuff that we go through on a continuing basis, you know, taking your shoes off and you can't take your contact lens solution with you, and then some dude ends up in the cargo hold of a plane that nobody knew about? I don't know. Maybe we should start feeding him crickets. Maybe that'll work. I don't know. So, and in a related story that doesn't surprise anybody, men donate more online when an attractive female fundraiser is asking. The question is, do women donate when an attractive female or an attractive man, or does it affect it one way or the other? I mean, the idea that men would give more with an attractive female, like, duh. I mean, does that surprise you at all?
Not really. It makes me wonder, does it kind of trigger the courtship response in men? Is that kind of what they're trying to get at?
Well, they said with men without even realizing they're trying to impress a good-looking woman.
Yeah, like maybe it's hardwired, kind of a...
Yeah, you guys are hardwired for all sorts of... okay. Men tend to pledge more money when they see other men donating large sums, especially when the fundraiser is an attractive woman. Researchers say men may be signaling to women that they are kind-hearted. I think not so much kind-hearted as that they're rich. Think of it as a peacock's feather, except in dollars and cents. Men may be acting out of altruism. One benefit might be in doing this, you get to signal to members of the opposite sex who are worthy individual to be chosen for partnership. No, I think it's not worthy. I think it's wealthy. If you've ever been at a charity auction, it's quite often the men who are with very young women, very young, pretty women, who will donate the most, bid the most. Speaking of young, pretty women, Gwyneth Paltrow failed the food stamp challenge 4 days in. She said she was hungry and she was going to eat more stuff. Who knew? There you go. We're not going to fail it, though. May 1st, write it on your calendar. 855-99-DR-JOY. I'm Dr. Joy Brown.
A show? No problem. Download the podcast right now at drjoy.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.